I'm Sophie.
I'm Veronica.
I'm Ben.
No more vagina.
And the moon.
Okay.
Here's the podcast. All
right.
Because we need this for safe, okay?
Should I explain to her? Yes, yes. Well,
I mean, if you want to.
Should we ask about theirs first? So how about you guys just tell us about your project?
Yeah, do that.
Okay, sure. Guys want me to do it?
Sure, you can start.
Okay. So I've got albinism, which is, this doesn't really exactly tie into our project yet, but it will make sense at some point. So I've got albinism, which is a genetic mutation. So basically that makes my skin a lot paler than it's supposed to be. So I'm actually I'm half Chinese, but I don't look half Chinese because of this. And this makes me really susceptible to skin cancer because I don't have as much melanin in my body. So I was online and reading a magazine that we're actually hoping to get published in eventually. And it's all about how sunscreens are harming coral reefs in Australia. And we're like, wait, this sort of works for our project. So we decided to come together and create a sunscreen that is safe for the oceans, does not have toxic chemicals, prevents coral bleaching, and makes life a lot better for you. One of you guys want to take over?
So our main idea is to make an eco-friendly sunscreen that protects you and the ocean at the same time. So that's the main goal, because I know that there is a lot of microplastics that enter the ocean through the sunscreens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as I said before, essentially our main goal was to create a sunscreen that degraded. Our first idea was to actually find a sunscreen that degraded into fish food, but that was very hard to find, and we thought we were using algae, but it wouldn't provide SPF high enough. So eventually we set it on zinc oxide, which is natural and degrades into the ocean, and then we also infused it with other oils.
Yeah. Thanks. So I've read about your guys's, but do you think you guys could elaborate on your rules?
So we are building a website called SciLink. SciLink is to help ocean explorers around the world connect, collaborate, and use our platform to collaborate with other... Can you explain it?
Yeah. So essentially, SciLink, which is our website, is a platform for scientists to communicate with each other and be able to share ideas and kind of rent out equipment, which is another thing we have. So we have forums, a marketplace, and like a projects tab, a forums tab, a reports tab, and scientists can basically do whatever they want there. They can kind of rent equipment to each other, they can post their ideas and wait for other scientists to give them feedback, or like just kind of work with each other, you know? And then, yeah.
Nice.
How do you guys plan on advertising your project?
So we've already reached out to existing experts and kind of notified them about that and posted, I think, on a page for fishermen and ocean explorers, so they can also do that.
Nice, it's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
What are some other questions that you have for us?
If you have any, don't feel pressured to come up with questions.
What is your sunscreen called?
Our sunscreen is called Ocean Guard. Originally, we had it as Sunleaf Essentials, but we decided to change it to Ocean Guard because Sunleaf Essentials sounded a bit too complicated for a sunscreen.
An ocean guard is like, we, like a guard of the ocean. That's what we want our sunscreen to be.
Do you guys have a working prototype of your project, or are you still working on that?
Yeah, we've created a sunscreen, and we're in the process of patenting it.
Here, Rajanya, I'll email you a link to our website where we've got photos of it.
Thank you.
Sites will load. Yeah, of course. Thank you. Oh my god, it's slow. Experiencing technical difficulties right now. I have the worst Wi-Fi of all time.
I can also send you our website if you like.
No, I got it. For Hush, I literally am faster.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no, this is Sophie. So, what were we planning to do at this meeting, if you don't mind asking?
We were kind of just planning to, like, introduce ourselves, know about your project, kind of get the idea of it, yeah. Anything along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, great, thank you. Hang on a second.
What were your research sources?
We wanted to make the best like product that we could make sure that humans could use it. So we went through like a few different types of sunscreen brand to research what types of sunscreen they are using. I contacted dermatologists because I already knew a lot from like places that my mom goes to and that I've like been at a few times. So I contacted some of the people who work there about the best type of ingredients to put in a sunscreen that is eco-friendly. And yeah, that's mainly how we found resources to create ingredients.
And then we also talked to some experts from Hush Blackwell, which is a law firm, a nationwide law firm, about patenting our product.
Works there. Yeah, which is very exciting to us.
What is the cost to make your sunscreen?
Sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
What's
the cost to make your
sunscreen? Sam, do you want to answer that?
Like $20.
Guys, we can't disclose that.
No, we can't disclose that. Our sunscreen costs about like $25 to make, like if you buy it like all the ingredients like solo, but when you buy it in bulk, it only costs about $12.
What are the ingredients?
That we can't disclose.
I'm sorry.
Because of the process of patenting it. Our lawyers have advised us to not disclose our ingredients. Sorry.
Like we have zinc oxide, which is like the main ingredient, and then we've got a few other several like side ones.
I'm sorry, I don't know
if we can say anything. Yeah.
How are you planning to advertise your sunscreen?
So actually just today we presented to our whole middle school, and then we also are planning to advertise through our website. And once we do get our provisional patent, we plan to create a website in the public domain and advertise through that, and hopefully sell our product.
Yeah, we've been contacted by a few news sources, so we have an interview with TMJ4 in about a month, but we've already been talking to like our county news and of course local media, like from our school.
How are you guys going to compete against other cheaper brands? And because most likely people aren't going to want to pay like $15 for a sunscreen versus just kind of cheaper sunscreens, you know?
That's an excellent question. Raj, you go.
Yeah, so that's actually another great point. We actually found in our research that eco-friendly sunscreens cost about $20 and over, and even some ranging about $40. So that was something that we plan to do. If we buy our ingredients in bulk, we'll cut it down to around $10 to $12 for each batch. Which each batch is considered about, I don't know, like 16 ounces of sunscreen.
Ish. But yeah, from what we could tell through our research, people are charging so much for these freaking sunscreens every day. So we would hope that we'd be able to compete, because A, we think that we've got a brand that works well, and B, we'd say that our sunscreen is a bit better than most commercial sunscreens. We've tested them a few times.
What have you tested them on? Just like you guys?
Sophie, you go.
We tested them on UV paper. So we basically applied it on and shone UVA and UVB light on it, and our sunscreen protected it quite well. We also used plants, if anybody else wants to elaborate on that.
Sure. We used the Cheetah Aquatica. Is that how you pronounce it, Raj?
Yeah.
Let's screw that up. So basically, it's a plant that's pretty good at sun resistance. But then we coated 4 different samples with 3 different commercial sunscreens in ours, and we actually performed really, really well against, like, Abercrombie was in there, Baby Gannix was in there, and a Trader Joe's one. So we think that, I think that we did quite well, actually.
What is your guys' SPF? Do you guys know that?
Yeah. So if you combine our ingredients and average them, we have a combined SPF of 55.
Like about 55. Can't be exact, but...
Most of that comes from some of the ingredients that we mentioned before, like zinc oxide.
Would you guys like to ask some questions about our project?
Yeah, of course.
Here you go, Raj.
Yeah, so for Psylink, when do you plan that it'll be open to the public domain?
Currently, Psylink actually is a functioning website that is open to the public domain. Sam, would you like me to email it to you?
Yeah, sure, thanks.
Alright.
Yeah, so, it's exclusive, so we're trying to make sure that only verified scientists can use it. So, because then it'd be other like any other social media, right? Because with the millions of users that it has, mm-hmm. It's really hard to find individual scientists, so we're not trying to make that a problem.
Get a little more in the camera.
All right. Okay. So
take my seat.
I'm in the camera.
Who's okay. Oh. So to show that our project like actually works and scientists can collaborate through Psylink. We collaborated with an ocean explorers that to find a problem to find to solve ghost fishing gear. We collaborated with them, and our idea was to make a buoy that's designed to monitor ghost fishing gear to alert ocean explorers. See, it's like a little prototype, like a 3D print.
So basically what the buoy does, like Jose said, it sensors like things underneath the water that could be harmful to marine life, such as like ghost fishing gear, and it alerts our like website and to tell ocean explorers that are on our website.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
This is like more of a personal question, but what type of, I understand if you can't tell us, but what web builder did you use to create your website?
We used WC Schools to develop our website.
Yeah,
W3
Schools.
Nice. Sorry, can you repeat that one more time?
W3
Schools.
We initially used the W3 Schools to like develop our website from HTML, but eventually we moved on to actually purchase a domain. It's like silent.us right now on GoDaddy.
Nice, that's really
cool. If I look it up, will I be able to enter it?
Yeah, you should be able to, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's silink.us.
Yeah, I found it.
Yeah, so the buoy will be placed on like the.
Oh my god, this is really.
Like the on the live project stack.
It's going to pop up. That's
and also.
Yeah, that's for the presentation. Just don't click on that.
Yeah.
This podcast is also going to be this podcast is also going to be put on our projects tab, just in case you're wondering.
It's where under the drop down.
So we're like we're doing this to show like collaboration between teams and how like you guys are making Silink kind of as an example.
We're also going to host your project on our website. Like, if you go down to the project tab, there's already a team's project there. But we're going to host yours, too.
But only if you're okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Oh, no,
yeah,
of course.
We'd be delighted to have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you guys mind answering if... Oh, are any other teams who signed up for it? And if they don't, if you can't say that, I understand, of course.
Also, afterwards, if anyone asks, your project was hosted by Silink, and that's how you advertise it.
But we don't have another podcast, but we did have the a team like Cyber Turtles that we also have hosted on our live projects tab. So you could also check that out.
Yeah,
we're
using this and the GUI to demonstrate that Silink works and can solve real-world problems.
So, just another quick question. What's bringing scientists from other platforms where they can communicate already?
So, like, instead of a different platform for, say, LinkedIn is pretty hard for the ocean explorers to get noticed because LinkedIn is a platform for everyone to use. But Silink is exclusive to only ocean explorers. So it's really easy to get noticed. Things are much faster that way.
Yeah, so Silink is just like unique and exclusive to ocean explorers. And that we hope will kind of drive into our platform as other competitors, like Rajani said, LinkedIn, those are for every like job or business, and again that can kind of hinder their ability to find each other or collaborate on certain things.
I think Sam disconnected. Yeah, he should join back in a minute.
Alright. Should we like pause or?
Yeah, no, it's fine. I can just this part. Anything else you guys would like to ask us? Or is everything good?
I think that's all. Do you guys have anything else?
I don't think so.
You guys have any feedback at all? Maybe?
One thing about the website, it's great, and it's actually a question. On the Silink Marketplace, are these actual projects that you've talked to?
No, they're, as far as I believe, they're just like demos, I think.
Okay,
but I may be wrong.
Yes, Daniel is wrong. We actually have talked to several experts. And they have told us about their projects, and we have placed them around where they're, like, housing their projects. So, yeah, with their permission.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's kind of just, kind of like an eBay built in. So, if Silink, if they don't have a certain material or, like, equipment, they can rent that out if they don't have sufficient funding to, like,
Do you guys have any more questions?
Sophie, do you have any?
I know.
Ben, any questions that you have? Do you guys have anything for us? Okay, well, see you on Tuesday weekend then.
Yeah, good
luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck.
A farewell to the flesh.